Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The bang was so loud, it woke me up from a sound sleep. It shook the whole bed. And then, there was static everywhere. I'm Tom Stewart, and this is my paranormal story. ...2024 has been such a busy year for me already. But busy in a good way. I've got some exciting things that I'm working on, and I'm trying to squeeze them all into my schedule. One of them is a new book that you'll be the first one to know about as soon as it's done. And I've also got some other unique ideas related to the paranormal that might be fun. So I'm hoping to make this a big year. But also, the podcast is closing in on 1 million downloads, which absolutely blows my mind. And I'm trying to think of a way to celebrate this. It'll happen probably sometime in the summer, so I'm going to have to come up with something to do. If you have any ideas, let me know. Let me give a big thank you to everyone who has made donations to the podcast recently. Because of you, I'm able to keep this going. I appreciate each and every one of you. Podcasts cost money, and your support helps me a lot. And I want to keep the podcast free, with no subscriptions or Patreons to sign up for. So if you'd like to make a donation of any amount, or if you'd like to buy a t-shirt or a mug, that helps too. Just visit my website at myparanormalstory.com. I also want to thank you for all your emails and social media messages. I always love reading your comments and hearing about your paranormal stories. So feel free to email me at myparanormalstorypodcast@gmail.com, or just search for My Paranormal Story on Facebook or Instagram. And if you have a podcast and would like me to be a guest, we can talk about anything you want. My stories, paranormal investigation, podcasting, or whatever you want. Just shoot me an email and we'll set something up. All right, that's enough rambling for me. Here's my latest episode. I was on my way to a job interview in Syracuse, New York. It was sometime during the mid to early 1990s, and I'd already been working in the radio industry for a few years. I was still a baby, though, still young. I started working in radio when I was only 18 years old. I was still in college studying communications while also working at a local radio station in Providence, Rhode Island. A friend of a friend had recommended me for a morning show producer position up in Syracuse. They were looking for someone young and ambitious, but with some experience, and I was all those things. This would be the first time I'd be traveling out of the state for a job opportunity. All my previous gigs had been local, within an hour or so from my home. But this was a very popular radio station with a very popular morning show. And the opportunity to work with them would definitely look good on my resume. So I set out on a Thursday morning to make the long drive from Providence to Syracuse. It was going to be about a 5-hour drive that would take me all the way across Massachusetts and through most of upstate New York. It was the longest drive I'd ever taken at the time. And I was all by myself and a little bit nervous. There were no GPS systems or cell phones back then. I had to print out like 5 pages of directions from a website called MapQuest. Parts of the drive would be through major cities and on busy freeways, and other parts were long stretches of highway with nothing but fields and farms and no exits for miles. Somehow, though, I managed to make it there without getting lost. I stopped for lunch on the way and then pulled into my motel around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I checked in and headed over to my room. Room number 9, my lucky number. It was second to last in a row of 10 rooms. I parked my car outside the front door and headed in. The radio station was nice enough to pay for my room for 2 nights. But it wasn't exactly the Ritz-Carlton. It was an old, run-down motel. The kind you'd see in movies where people are on the run, where they go to hide out. I opened the motel room door with one of those old-fashioned keys with the big keychain on it, and I walked in, expecting the room to look as drab and run down as the outside. But to my surprise, it wasn't that bad. It had obviously been remodeled within the past couple of years. So the furniture was decent, the rug looked somewhat new, and the bed actually looked comfortable. Maybe this won't be so bad, I thought. It was a simple room, though. I mean, just what you need. A bed, a TV, a small desk, and a bathroom and a shower. I was only going to be there for a couple of nights, so it was good enough. I put my duffel bag of clothes down on the desk and sat down on the bed to unwind for a bit after the long drive. I needed to be careful not to fall asleep, though, as I had to be at a local restaurant at 5 to meet with the guys from the morning show for a little introductory dinner. It was tough to keep my eyes open, though, after all that driving. Plus, the weather in Syracuse was gray and drizzly, which I hear is common for that city. I had just started to close my eyes and was beginning to drift off when suddenly I heard this loud thud from the room next to me. It instantly woke me up. I guess someone's moving into room number 10. But it was a good thing they woke me up, because I didn't want to be late for my dinner. I rested for a bit longer, then got up, changed my clothes, and headed down to the restaurant. It was a local steakhouse, probably a chain restaurant from the local area, but nothing I recognized. I walked in, looked around, and spotted 2 middle-aged guys sitting at the bar. And for some reason, I could tell right away it was them. It must be a radio thing. They locked eyes with me and then waved me over. We had a beer, and then we moved to a table where we could eat and talk. And we ended up chatting for a couple of hours, telling stories, talking about radio, and a little bit about the job I'd be doing. We definitely seemed to click. At the end of the dinner, they asked me if I wanted to come into the radio station early the next morning and spend some time with them in the studio, so I agreed. I headed back to my motel room, hoping I'd be able to get some sleep. I mean, I had a belly full of steak tips and beer, so that was definitely a good start. I got into bed and just laid there thinking, back and forth. So many questions were running through my mind. What if they offer me this job? Do I really want to move all the way up here? Do I want to be 5 hours away from my family and friends? And what if I take the job and I hate it? I knew it would be a good career move, but I was most worried about being lonely, up there with no friends. I clicked on the TV to try and distract myself a little, but there were only about 11 or 12 stations to choose from. A few local channels and some cable channels, sports, news, reruns. I eventually settled on some old Mary Tyler Moore episodes. And like I mentioned, these were the days before we all had cell phones. So it wasn't like I had the internet or games on my phone to distract me. It was probably about 11 p.m. when I heard another weird thud coming from the room next door. It didn't scare me. I mean, noises happen when you stay in motels and the walls are really thin. I had just hoped that these people weren't going to keep me up all night. Then all of a sudden, my television clicked and the screen went all snowy, like someone had pulled the cable cord out. And the static from the TV was super loud. It was hurting my ears. I fumbled around trying to find the remote so I could turn it down. And as I lowered the volume, I started hearing voices. Like people were whispering somewhere. I couldn't tell if it was coming from the room next door or from outside. So I quietly crept to the window and slowly peeked through the slit in the curtain. The parking lot was dark, except for a flickering street light down the other end. And from what I could see, there was no one around. My car was the only thing out there. There was nobody else nearby. Suddenly, my TV clicked again, and the static was gone. The TV was back on. I didn't hear anything else the rest of the night, and I even managed to get a few hours of sleep. The next morning, the alarm went off at 7 a.m. I jumped out of bed quickly, washed up, headed out the door. As I was walking towards my car, I glanced over at the room next to me to see if it was occupied. But the curtains were open, and there was no one inside. The bed was made. Everything looked neat and unused. It looked vacant. I pulled up to the radio station a few minutes before 8 a.m. It was an old building, three floors. I could tell it had been there for a long time. I rang the bell and waited in the lobby for a few minutes until finally one of the morning hosts came out to get me. He brought me into the studio so I could hang out and watched them do their thing. The studio looked a bit dated too. The soundproofed walls were decorated with all sorts of posters and memorabilia from concerts and music artists. And the mixing board, plus most of the equipment, looked to be at least 10 to 15 years old, if not more. Which honestly was what most of the radio stations I've worked at look like. There was one computer in the corner that was used for news and the internet, but that was about it. Back then, radio stations weren't automated yet. There were no MP3s or anything like that. In fact, they were just starting to use compact discs for music. And some of the music and all the commercials and jingles were still on carts. There was an entire wall full of CDs and carts. Now, carts are what radio stations used to use to play music, commercials, station imaging, anything. All before computers. The carts were shaped like 8-track tapes. They had magnetic tape inside that you could record onto, sort of like a cassette tape. And they could be reused over and over again by erasing them and re-recording again. They'd have labels on the outside so you'd know what was recorded on it. And every hour, you'd have to pull out all your music CDs, all your commercials on carts, and those would be the things that you would play manually every hour. So I sat with them for a while, and even got to go on air for a couple breaks. And then I helped out a little around the studio. I put some of the CDs and carts away for them and just basically helped them clean up. I wanted to show them that I was a go-getter, you know, not lazy. And after the show was over at 9, we went over to their office and they started working on their next show on Monday morning. Then around 10 a.m., we headed into the meeting with the program director. It was pretty laid back, cordial. It became more like an interview by the end, though, but I felt like it went well. And when it was over, I headed back to my motel. They purposely gave me 2 nights at the motel so that I could spend part of the day on Friday, like, checking out the area and seeing if I liked it there, which I thought was a good idea. So I actually drove around a little. I stopped off, grabbed some lunch. It was mostly a college town. Lots of bars and restaurants. which I didn't mind because I was about that age. But I still couldn't help feeling out of place, being in a strange city. Eventually, I headed back to my motel room and settled in for the night. I got my things packed so that I could check out in the morning and make that long drive home. I was pretty tired at this point, so I went to bed early. I was lying there, watching TV, when suddenly the phone rang. It had one of those old digital-sounding rings, too. Who would be calling me here? Maybe it's one of the radio guys calling to offer me the job. I excitedly picked up the phone. Hello? But there was no one there. It was just static. So I hung it up, hoping I hadn't missed an important call because of some crappy motel room phone. I sat there contemplating when suddenly it rang again. So I answered it quickly. Hello? But more static. And this time, I could hear whispering, like someone was trying to say something. Can you speak up? I can't hear you. But all I could hear was the static mixed with whispering. Finally, I hung up the phone and decided to call the front desk. I told the manager that I've been getting phone calls, but there's nothing on it except static. He blamed it on wrong numbers and just said to unplug it if it happens again. The thing was, when I was talking to him, the phone sounded fine. There was no static or anything. Crystal clear. After an hour or so, I was able to finally fall asleep. About half an hour before my alarm clock was about to go off, I woke up to a loud bang from the room next door. It was super loud this time. It shook the whole bed. Half asleep, I got out of the bed to look out the window when all of a sudden the phone started ringing again. I picked it up without even saying hello, as if I knew what was going to happen. And I was right. It was nothing but static. At this point, I was aggravated. I slammed the phone down. And then it was like all hell broke loose. The TV clicked on and loud static in the snowy screen again. And instead of the alarm clock going off, the clock radio turned on. And that was playing loud static, too. It felt like there was static everywhere around me. And there were whispers coming from all directions. I could hear all these different voices. I didn't know what to do. I reached behind the bedstand and unplugged the clock radio. I turned off the TV and pulled that plug out of the wall. Finally, it was quiet. And I could collect my thoughts. I decided, I'm just going to get out of here. As I was getting dressed, putting on my shoes, the thumping and banging from the room next door started again. I grabbed my duffel bag and keys and stormed out the door, ready to give whoever was in that next room a piece of my mind. But when I walked up to the window, the room was still empty. Curtains were open, bed was made, and there was no one in sight. I threw my stuff in the car, dropped off the motel room key at the front desk, and started my long drive home, relieved to be out of that room. I was driving for about an hour or so when the unexpected happened, or perhaps I should have expected it. Out of nowhere, the radio in my car started getting staticky. And I was like, oh no, that's enough static, Syracuse. I started turning the dial and pushing the buttons, trying to find something other than static. And then I stopped on a radio station that was playing music, but kept mentioning Ottawa. I thought that was strange. Suddenly, I noticed a sign on the highway. As I passed by it, it said Canada, 3 miles away. I had driven at least an hour in the wrong direction on the wrong highway. And if it wasn't for that static, I probably wouldn't have noticed until I'd reached the border. My 5-hour ride had just become a 7-hour ride, because I wasn't stopping. I had no interest in staying at any more motel rooms. My paranormal story is written, produced, and narrated by me, Tom Stewart. Music from this episode, courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at incomptech.com. If you enjoy my stories and would like to support the podcast, please visit my website at myparanormalstory.com and just click on the donate button. Or if you want, I have t-shirts and coffee mugs for sale. You can also check out my book called The 10 Best Tools for Ghost Hunting. If you ever wanted to learn more about the gadgets used in paranormal investigation, you can check it out on Audible, Kindle, or Amazon.com. Please help my podcast grow by sharing your favorite episodes with your friends on social media. And feel free to follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for My Paranormal Story. If you have a podcast and would like me to be a guest, or if you'd like to ask me a question or tell me your paranormal story, you can email me at myparanormalstorypodcast@gmail.com. I always reply to every message. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Stewart, and this is My Paranormal Story.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.